Loving God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and fill our hearts with love for you. Amen. Right. I need a prop. Excuse me. I hid it over here. I have a basket. Ooh, come on, pantomime. Ooh! Now, I wonder what might be in my basket. Does it move? What do you think it might be? A guinea pig. Oh, squeak, squeak, squeak. It's not a guinea pig. No, Ruth actually has given this away already at the start. So we won't keep guessing for too long. So this is my favourite sort of basket, absolutely full of chocolate biscuits. So I thought we could do some sharing out. Right. I have some plates as well. Three plates that aren't going to fit very well on the altar, so I'll put them on the floor. One plate. You can count, those of you who are still in primary school, and actually the rest of you can as well. One, two, three. We like the number three in church, don't we? So it's just as well this sermon works with three plates. So what we're going to do is count out the biscuits between the plates. So again, I need help counting because if any of you know me, my maths is not great. So plate number one. One. That's going to do. Okay, plate number two. Are you ready? One. Two, three, four, five, that'll do. Right, plate number three, are you ready? Can you count to more than five? Right, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, okay, you can count. We're not going to count the rest, but we're just going to have all the biscuits. Okay, so just in case you forgot, shall we recap? Plate number one, how many biscuits?
One.
Plate number two, how many biscuits?
Five.
Oh, yeah, five. Plate number three, how many biscuits?
A lot.
A lot. Lots of biscuits. Okay, so if I said to you, that you could choose one of these plates of biscuits to take home at the end of a service, or for yourself, or, if I was feeling really generous, to quietly munch your way through during the sermon, providing you didn't get chocolate on the seats, I wonder which ones you would choose. Now, if you can't eat biscuits, or you just don't like biscuits, imagine that something you do like on your plate, and imagine there's lots of that instead. So, think about it. Don't tell me, just think. Which plate would you choose? Which plate would make you happier? Depends on what day it is sometimes. So, plate one, one biscuit, just enough for now, just enough to go with your next cup of tea. I don't know if you like to dunk your chocolate biscuits in your tea like I do, but just one. Or plate number two, five biscuits. That should be enough, if my maths is correct, for one for each day of your lunchbox in the week. Yeah, not bad. Or plate number three. Enough for several days, several weeks, potentially several months if you are self-restrained. Even a potential business opportunity, because you could sell these, couldn't you? And invest the money in buying even more biscuits, and then you would be even richer. Now, if we were honest with ourselves, I don't think many of us really want this plate over here. I know I don't. We might be quite pleased with this plate. We think, well, that's all right. But many of us would really like this plate over here, wouldn't we? Especially when we see what's on all the other plates. We really would rather have this one. They should last a long time. And I think the idea here is that there's a security in knowing that there's a lot of biscuits in your cupboard. You will always have some in just in case of surprise visitors with this plate of biscuits. And I think it's this security that's inbuilt into all of us, isn't it? It's kind of a survival reflex. There's a security bound up in our stockpiling of things. Once upon a time, when we all lived in farming communities, there was very much the idea of stockpiling. At the end of the summer, in the harvest, we gathered all our goods in, and they would literally keep us alive through the winter. And in many places across the world, that still happens today. And for people today, even in countries like ours, who are struggling to find enough food to eat, the idea of being able to stockpile up your food is actually quite powerful. And actually, it's a luxury that for those with very little money, they can't afford to take offers like the buy two, get one free. Just enough for today. They would love to stockpile like this. There is a safety net in our being able to stockpile. And so, over the years, we have learnt that this is a good thing. But now we don't live in a society where we need to gather our food quite so much. We've started doing this with not just food. We do it with other things as well. So we do it with our possessions, with our money, with our clothes. So imagine, instead of chocolate biscuits on Moose Plate, it was, Gucci shoes or handbags or gold bars or £50 notes or, the latest PlayStation or something. I'm probably showing that I'm a little bit out of touch. The more we have, the safer we feel. Except we don't just feel safe with it anymore. We tend to think that the happier we will be, the more we have. So let's just think about what we heard Jesus say in our reading about our possessions and our wealth. He said, "Watch out and guard yourselves from every kind of greed, because your true life is not made up of the things you own, no matter how rich you may be." And I think he says this because he wants us to guard ourselves against the lie that having more makes us happier, makes us more alive. Now, the rich fool in our parable today had all the food he needed. He had the equivalent of this plate and more besides. But when we look at the picture of Jesus in the Gospels, we see him telling us time and time again that real life, life that is abundant, life that is truly satisfying, doesn't come from having more stuff, more money, more handbags, more shoes, more chocolate biscuits. But it comes from a true and living relationship with the living God. "I have come," said Jesus, "that they may have life and have it to the full." And this life, the life that Jesus talks about, it doesn't matter if you have plenty or little or not enough. It's a different sort of life. This sort of life is the free gift from God in relationship with him. So when Jesus tells us to guard ourselves against greed, he doesn't really mean that having money or things is wrong. Some of us are fortunate enough to have money and to have things. But neither is he romanticizing a view of poverty that suggests it is always a spiritual blessing to struggle and make ends meet. Because poverty is hard. There's no two ways about that. It is painful and it is wrong in a world where so many of us have so much. It's not the having or the have-not that Jesus is talking about here. It's our attitude to what we do have. Only last week in our gospel, we heard the part when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. And as part of the Lord's Prayer, he said, "Say to God every day, give us today our daily bread. Ask enough for today. Guard against wanting more than you really need. And certainly guard against believing that the more you have, the happier you will be." But what our rich fool has done in the parable is basically get rid of all these extra plates. One plate left. He's got one plate left for himself and everything is on it. But the side effect of this is that when you look at his table, he's all alone. Just one plate. He only needs one for himself. And when we listen to the parable, when we listen to the words in it, all we hear him say is, "My, my, my." It's all about him. My barns, my crops, my goods. And when he fills those storehouses to bursting, Who does he go to and ask for advice of what to do? Goes to himself. We only ever see the rich fool talk to himself. He doesn't talk to friends, family, neighbours. He doesn't even talk to God. He might be rich, but he's alone. And what about that man who comes to ask Jesus for help at the beginning? The brother who comes and says, "Tell my brother to give me half my inheritance." He doesn't go and talk to his brother himself, does he? He tries to get Jesus to do it for him. They've fallen out so badly that they can't talk either. He's on his own too. And so I think the real sorrow of the story of both the brothers and the rich fool is not having or having not, but that the relationships are completely ruined. It's become all about the money. The money will make them happy and secure. So when we choose to have the plate with all the biscuits, it becomes not only about greed, but again, sometimes about a lack of relationship between ourselves and others. Because the other person, they don't deserve what I have. They don't need it as much as I do. And this is the pattern of our broken humanity that we see played out across our world and on our news screens day by day and week by week. And so I think we need to have a little bit of kingdom vision going on. Because in the kingdom, it's all about right relationship between us and God, between us and each other. So I don't think the kingdom will look like this. There will definitely be more plates. And there will be more than three plates, except then my cupboard at home would be empty in case I forget them at the end of today. Because when we come to the kingdom, the table is set for all. All are invited to receive in the kingdom. So when we look at the biscuits then on this plate with kingdom eyes, we see that there's another way entirely. In fact, there's enough, hopefully, for everyone if we share. If I've done my counting correctly, there ought to be enough for one biscuit each with your cup of tea later on. And if not, I hope we'll share. I'll leave them out the back at the end. So as we go home today, let each and every one of us thank God for all that he has given us, both our wealth and our relationships. Let us look for opportunities to share what we can and invest in the relationships that matter, not just those closest to us, but those people we meet as well. Let us practice gratitude for enough. And remember that life, real life, comes always firstly from God, and invest in that relationship most of all. Amen.